time for Black Belt Money and Habits, where we share with you about personal finance and daily habits. Join us each week as we feature financial experts, self-made entrepreneurs, and successful influencers. And now, here are your hosts, Raymond Tan of Black Belt Millionaire and the man behind World of Habits, Dion Uy.
Welcome to Black Belt Money and Habits. And as always, I'm with my co-host, Dion Uy.
Hi.
Hi, Dion. Today, Hi, we have everybody. A special guest that will be joining our podcast today.
Yes, indeed. He's a very special person. And I am very excited today to have this guest with us.
Yeah, just to recap back, I think that was your first time meet him during the event, the Stashaway XBBM event, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
I think that he did, during that session itself, he did share a bit on retirement and a bit of the company product.
Yeah, there's a lot of values that our guest speaker has added during his recent talk in Penang. And definitely our listeners will benefit a lot from our guest today. I will let you do the introduction, Raymond.
Yes, and just now I didn't mention his name, of course, and his name is Wai Ken. He's the general manager of Stashaway Malaysia. And let's welcome Wai Ken.
Hi, Dion. Hi, Raymond. How are you?
I'm good.
Like you said, Wai Ken, you know, when we were having our chat just now, Wai Ken is just around the corner, and we are working really hard for the past week and looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as part of a startup, you know, it's a very, very exciting times because, you know, right now as country manager of Stashaway, you know, it's we are the first robo-advisor to launch in Malaysia, and the fintech scene is very hot. So yes, we've been working very hard and looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah. Wai Ken, maybe you can share a bit of introduction about yourself to our listener.
Yeah, sure. My name is Ken. I'm the country manager of Stashaway. I've been with this startup for about 1 year now. Before this, I've got about 10 years of investing and capital markets experience. I started my investing career with Khazanah. I was there overseeing investments in the investment division in looking at various areas. I also then moved to Affin Hwang Capital, and I did corporate strategy there for a while, but the last 3 years, I did equity capital markets, which basically means we help companies go public, go IPO, and we help listed companies raise more money. Outside of work, you know, I used to do a lot of marathons and triathlons, like you, Raymond, very fit guy. But now I'm already married, so a bit lazy already.
Yeah, that's nice. I think that when the first time you approached me, to have collaboration, if you, I remembered that you mentioned to me that you used to train MMA.
Yeah, I did. It was a thing I tried for a while, and I really thought my cardio helped with my martial arts. But then because being a white-collar worker, you know, going to the office, working in teams, seeing clients, sometimes I would show up with a black eye or some bruises, and it was less professional. So I stopped, you know, I really like the cardio part, but I don't like being beat up so much, but, you know, not as strong as you.
I mean, we all have something in common. I mean, past-wise, I was learning some martial arts as well. And then again, Ken has got something in common with me. Both of us, we are married and we're getting lazier.
And I just have some list of questions to you.
Sure.
So I would like to ask you with a bit on robo-advisor, because I think that it's a term that not many Malaysians really understand about. It's really unfamiliar to many Malaysians. So can you give a bit of short introduction about robo-advisor?
Yeah, sure. So robo-advisor is, you know, one of these fintech terms. And basically, if you simplify it, basically is we are a digital fund manager or a digital unit trust. Basically, it's a simple way of getting your money invested in a fund or portfolio. But because you're fully digital as a fintech company, we're a lot cheaper and a lot more convenient. But of course, we're not just cheap and convenient. You know, we are also very sophisticated in the sense that we help clients recommend portfolios to them. And also we have our own in-house investment framework, meaning it's like a systemized way of investing. So your portfolio will change according to the economic environments. So just to sum it up, basically, it's a simple way of investing your money in a broad and diversified fund. And the value that it has is as cheap and convenient and sophisticated.
I'm just curious, Ken.
Yeah.
I mean, RoboAdvisor is very new to me as well. I'm not familiar until the other day when you came to Penang and you presented about retirement. And this is one of the good options to have to put in as a retirement fund. Mm. And what does, you know, as a layman, what do we need in order to have access to this RoboAdvisor?
Actually, as a layman, it's not there's not a lot of things that you require, you know, in terms of knowledge. If you're a beginner, it's actually a really good platform to start. You don't have to be an investing genius or someone very, very experienced, because the way we've set up the customer journey, the onboarding journey, is very smooth and very user-friendly. So we actually recommend portfolios to you. So you don't need much beyond your basic personal information and your IC. And after that, we can help recommend portfolios as well. So you don't really have to be a sophisticated investor to start.
Sounds good.
And just a question, because when you mentioned something related to something similar to mutual fund, where you mentioned something like digital mutual fund, what are the advantages of RoboAdvisor over the traditional mutual fund?
Right. If you look at what a mutual fund really is, a mutual fund is basically like a broad and diversified portfolio, right? There are a lot of stocks in there. There are a lot of bonds in there. So basically, the RoboAdvisor takes this basic fund and makes it more efficient and lowers the barriers to entry. So just simply put, you know, the immediate benefit is that it's a lot lower cost. I think we all know that unit trust can be quite expensive, especially with the upfront fee, you know, 3-5%. That's 3-5% that doesn't go into investing for you and doesn't compound and gain for you. So we have no sales charge, and our management fee is only 0.8%. Usually mutual fund have 1.5-2% management fee. So we are a fraction of it. So the first real benefit is low cost. And we are low cost not because you know, we cut corners or we're cheap, but we're low cost because we're completely digital. So we can do away with a lot of the traditional costs that are associated with banks, you know. They have branches, they have agents who need commissions to cari makan. So essentially, you know, because we are fully digital, we can help customers save money. Another real advantage compared to unit trust is that we have no minimum entry, no minimum investment. So, you know, some unit trusts need you to sign up with about $1,000. For some other funds, it can be 10,000, like for wholesale funds. But for us, there's no minimum. So I would say the other benefit compared to most unit trusts in Malaysia is that StashAway gives you a very global portfolio, which is quite hard to get, especially if you're Malaysian.
Well, I mean, 3-5%, even before we make the interest or the dividends, they're already charging us upfront. 3-5% is quite a lot, yeah?
Yeah, that's quite a lot. I think there's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's just that, you know, as an agent, you need to make a living. You know, I think a lot of people sell unit trusts and insurance and work on, you know, real estate agents all work on commission. That's just a reality. So it's not a bad thing. It's just that it's a bit expensive for the end user. And I think for us, if you are familiar with the stockbroking industry, you know, last time there are a lot of remisers calling the people, you know, giving stock tips. Now everyone trades online. You don't need to talk to a person, you know, you do your own research. And it's the same, with a robo-advisor. You know, you don't need a unit trust agent to come and sign forms. And all you have to do is jump online and DIY.
So having said that, right, I mean, how can robo-advisor benefit the investors?
Yeah, so, you know, we give a lot of advantages like the convenience and also the cost, but we don't really sacrifice the returns and the performance, you know. Ultimately, you're getting a portfolio that's tailored or that suits your risk. So you actually don't need to be a sophisticated or intelligent like investor to start investing. We don't compromise on the end product because the portfolios we offer are very balanced, very diversified. There's a lot of asset classes in there, spread a lot across a lot of geographies as well. So I would say that, you know, we target returns from anywhere between 4 to 12%, depending on the risk level, of course. So that, you know, ultimately people can save for whatever they want. Is it your retirement? Is it a new car? Buy your own wedding, set up your own business. People want to save for things that they care about, so they shouldn't really have to worry about their investments.
So having said that, Ken, I mean, you brought up a very good point on the benefits and also some information about this robo-advisor.
Mm.
Is there any resources that our listeners can refer to, you know, just to get some information about the benefits?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Raymond has a blog, a really good blog called Black Belt Millionaire. He has written about his investing experience and how to open an account. So he actually switched out of unit trust and invested more into Stashaway as well. So I think for someone who's a bit more skeptical, you know, there's a lot of research available online that looks at Stashaway, including Black Belt Millionaire, which has already done a review on us.
Mm. So having said that, you know, sorry, Raymond, just to cut it in. You know, after reading Raymond's article from his Black Belt Millionaire blog site, I've stopped investing in mutual funds.
Yeah, I think you ultimately have to do your own research.
That's right.
To come to a decision. I'm not trying to hard sell anyone, but I'm glad that Stashaway is working for you, Dion.
Yeah,
I think personally for me it's the same thing too, because last time prior investing in robo advisor, I think before Stashaway came to Malaysia, I'm looking into like how can I diversify my money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at other options. Of course, stock investment is one of the options, but I'm also looking at investing in another country.
Mm.
And I'm looking at something that is low cost saving. So I think one of the options that I used to opt in during those days is like mutual fund, because mutual fund, you can actually invest in countries like China, USA, and then the list goes on. And you can risk it, you can put it in bond, equity, money market, and things like this.
Yeah.
But I realized that there are price to pay for that particular part. We have to pay like high amount of interest for that. I have to pay the load fee and things like this. And I think that after I saw that, you know, robo-advisor came in the picture, I realized that how much that we are able to save. And this is not something very new in the world. In US, I think that it's been there for a very, very long time already.
Mm-hmm.
But in Malaysia, it's very new. So I'm really glad that robo-advisor like Stashaway is in Malaysia, so many Malaysians can actually able to benefit from it.
Yeah, you're right, Raymond. So like when you mentioned just now, you want to invest in different regions, you want to invest in different asset classes like money market fund. Not only do you have to pay all those loading fees, but you actually have to do research on many fund managers and curate or put together all these different funds. So there's like we cut through a lot of that because we already do the heavy lifting for you, hard work. You know, we put together portfolios that are, we feel, the best of the best, so that people ultimately just have to invest. They don't have to do research on so many, different in many funds out there. One thing I also want to add is that you're right, you know, robo-advisors are not new. They have been around in US and Europe. Basically, it came about after the global financial crisis. After the banks in the US started to fail, there was a lot of mistrust towards the traditional banks. And all these fintech companies started building their own technology. So the first real robo-advisor actually came around in the States in around 2008. And today, you know, the leading robo-advisors in the US have around 40 billion assets under management in US dollars. So the concept actually is not new. But you're right, we are first in the region. Stashaway actually started in Singapore 2.5 years ago. We started because our co-founder, Michele, who happens to be head of Zalora at the time, he was actually earning very good money, but he didn't know where to invest. And then someone told him, hey, why don't you look at a robo-advisor? Because of his friends in Europe telling him robo-advisors are a really good way of investing. But then ultimately he couldn't find one. So he then started talking to a few people. And when three of the co-founders came together, they said, why don't we build one ourselves? And then 2.5 years later, We are here. You know, we launched in Malaysia about 8 months ago. So it's been an incredible journey so far.
Well, sounds like a real exciting journey and startup for you, Ken.
Yeah, it has been, you know, and actually me deciding to join had a lot to do with the fact that I like the product itself. And as a as someone who used to work in a bank, you know, I have very little time to invest my own money. So I only could reduce the mortgage of my house if I have spare cash. And then anything on top of that, I would put in a unit trust, because working in a bank, they waive my sales charge. So if you're a normal person, then you still have to pay the high fees. But yeah, you know, I personally really liked the product even before I joined, and it's just really nice to be able to grow the business in this way.
Okay, I just got one more question in this, because I think that since you, RoboAdvisor, since StashAway is in Malaysia for past 8 months,
yep.
So how receptive are Malaysians towards your product?
Yeah, I think Malaysians actually adopt technology really quickly and really well. I think we are very aware of what advancements are happening in China, you know, with the not even cash, like less cash, you know, this one people completely cashless. So we see all these overseas trends, and we see things like robo-advisors come around. And then when it's finally upon our shores, you know, I think people are really responding well. Before we came around, there were things like equity crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending. So, you know, a lot of e-wallets have started mushrooming around. So the digital adoption is definitely there, you know. So people actually have responded very well to us, especially the people who are professionals under the age of 35, working in banking or technology, or they are consultants. You know, they are very savvy, and they've discovered us and they've started using us. But I think for us to be really, truly as big as the traditional unit trust, it will take us a couple of years, because, you know, you have to be positioned well and you have to do well to slowly gain people's trust, show some years of performance. But I think once the change happens, right, it will happen really quickly. Just take e-commerce, just take ride hailing, just take e-wallets, you know, when we first come out, adoption is quite steady, quite slow. And then when it happens fast, it accelerates. It's like exponential.
Yeah, I truly agree with you, Ken, because nowadays everything is about technology and is inevitable. And I believe sooner or later, everyone will have to adopt the technology and move on with the, you know, the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Ken, next question for you will be, in your previous talk in Penang, you did the topic of retirement, which is a very interesting topic, and a lot of our listeners out there would really love to know about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So why is a good financial planning important for retirement?
Retirement is so important, you know, because it's actually so far away for most people, and they don't really have that foresight. Giving money to yourself is almost like giving money to a stranger. So it's actually very hard to envision yourself as someone who will retire, because you know, for a lot of people who are still working, they think they are going to work until they are very old. But retirement is actually the ability to be financially free, you know, have options to do what you want and not have to work if you don't want to. So it's actually also the biggest kind of financial obligation that you have. And, you know, imagine, for example, you want to live on ringgit for 20 years after you retire, right? You actually need to save 2.4 million ringgit, you know, 2.4 million. So that's 10,000 for 20 years is 2.4 million. That's not even taking into account inflation. And 2.4 million is a lot of money for a lot of people. Just to compare and contrast how Malaysians are doing, only 1% of Malaysians have more than 700,000 in their EPF accounts. So if you take that 700,000 and spread it over 20 years, say, that's only 3,000 a month. You know, so there's a huge gap between how you want to retire and how much realistically you will get from your EPF. So the only option you have is to plan carefully and invest your money.
Oh, sounds really scary. And if our listeners out there will, you know, now have their ears really, you know, open wide for this talk.
Yeah, and I think that retirement is something that many people, I think that when we used to talk about retirement when we are young, when we talk about retirement, which means that you work until you're old. So once you're old, you just stop working because you are incapable of working anymore, or you're just too old to work. That's maybe some people's perception about retirement. But I think in the modern days, when we talk about retirement, it's really about financial freedom. It's all about retire and not able to, like, you know, just go through our daily 9-to-5 where we are getting able to, like, enjoy life and just not to worry much about where to earn your income and things like this.
Yeah, true. I agree with you, Raymond. Because, I mean, to some people who just retired, because I got some friends who just retired from the scene of being in the corporate world, I believe in the beginning they will really enjoy their retirement. And when until their funds are running low, then they will start to worry. So like what Ken said, that, you know, we really have to plan in advance. That's why coming to your talk, Ken, was really a blessing for me now that triggered. And I really, really seriously really need to look into this topic of retirement.
And it's not just for people nearing the age of 60 or 65. I think, Raymond, you'll know that there's this new movement called the FIRE movement. It's like it's F-I-R-E, stands for financially independent, retire early. So, you know, you could actually save aggressively, invest, and then actually retire, say, before even 50, and just live very frugally for the rest of your life. I think it's a lifestyle choice, and it's not for everyone, but for people who want to go back to their, I suppose, their core values, you know, they actually get to live a very decent life, not luxurious, of course, but a very decent life, and actually retire early. And when they retire early, it's not like they're not working, it's just that they're not working for a salary, lah. They still do things on the side, like they have side hustle, they do consulting, they do podcasting, they you know, maybe sell things online. So it's really about how you want to live your life. You know, do you want to spend more time with the kids? Do you want to live outside of a very busy city like KL? It's really up to the individual. It's not just for an age thing, you know.
Yeah, what I'm hearing here is that it's more towards doing something that you're passionate doing and also something that you enjoy. The time that we have is only limited, like 24 hours a day. So with that in mind, they have the option of doing what they like and what they want with the time that they have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and I have a question to both of you. Is FIRE movement possible for Malaysian?
Good question. I think no one has really looked at this, but based on what I've seen in the US, the principles are that you work very hard and you save aggressively, you penny pinch, you do a lot of budgeting. And then when you hit your savings target, your retirement target, say that 2.4 million, that magic number that we talked about, then you actually stop working and you live very, 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 very frugally. So maybe it's possible if you don't live in KL, you don't live in Penang, maybe you move somewhere relatively cheaper, you know, maybe somewhere like Ipoh, a smaller town, you know, like Kuantan or something like that, move to East Malaysia, you know, where it's maybe a bit cheaper. But I think that's a choice that some people want to make, you know. I even have heard of people who are businessmen and they build an SME, and once they are about 40, they sell the SME and then live in a small town overseas and just slowly, you know, relaxingly live out their life. But I think it would be really cool to see the personal finance blog in Malaysia, maybe you, BBM blog or any other blog, to actually do the math and see if it's possible.
Right. So, in fact, Ken has mentioned the right word. Remember during the training, Raymond mentioned about the model B, C, D. From birth till death, it's all about choices. And of course, the choice that we make, we must be ready and must be willing to pay the price. And like what Ken said, it's all about lifestyle choices. I believe it is very much possible to retire, and of the fire movement is possible, just that whether this individual or this person is willing to pay the price.
I agree. And part of the reason why I asked this question is just because I did wrote an article about fire movement months ago. That's why I asked that question.
How did your research go? What were your findings?
I think that when I wrote about this, I also did reflect back on myself. What have I done? Because I think that fire movement is possible. And I have listed down on like what are the steps that I did or I'm doing right now to make sure that I am on track to be on the fire journey. So number one, of course, I did mention about keeping my commitment low. Two, I talk about keeping my expenses low. Three, I talk about save and invest my income. And four, about seeking more side hustle.
Right.
Yeah. That's just a brief sharing on what I wrote about fire movement.
Yeah, definitely it will benefit our listener. So having Ken and you know, having this chat tonight, this topic is definitely a good topic.
I have next question for you, Ken.
Yeah.
Based on your expertise, what are the best tips and tricks that you can share with our listeners on financial planning for retirement?
Yeah, I think, you know, we get that question a lot. The truth of the matter is that there's no shortcut, but like you say, you know, there's some pro tips that we can definitely share. I think the first one I would highly, highly, highly recommend is to download EPF's iAccount. It's an app by EPF itself. It's actually a very, very good app. You know, you can see how much is in your account one and account two, and you'll be surprised to know how many Malaysians actually don't know how much is in their EPF. You know, you contribute it to your own retirement month in, month out. Your employer also chips in, but people don't know how much they actually have. And that's really important, because remember we talked about that 2.4 million, right? You know, you have to actually quantify how much you need for your retirement. So my first tip after downloading EPF iAccount is to then take out a spreadsheet and calculate your net worth. So net worth is actually not very hard to calculate. All you have to do is to list down all your assets and how much they're worth. So your assets are things like your house, your cash and FD, your investments, your stocks, your whole portfolio, and then you minus out your liabilities. For most people, very simple, you know, things like mortgage, your student loans, your credit card loans, your car loans. You minus all that out, then you know what your net worth is. And some of you might be surprised, you know, some of you might actually be almost a millionaire on paper with your EPF, you know, a few hundred thousand, with your house, say 500,000. Let's say you have your stocks and your mutual fund and your stash away all together. You might actually almost be a millionaire, you know. So you have to know where to start first. Okay, so let's say you find out your net worth is actually 1 million ringgit. You take that 2.4 million that we referenced just now, which is a comfortable target for retirement, and you minus your 1 million, so you're left with 1.4. So 1.4 million may seem like a lot of money, but with time, you know, you can gradually and responsibly accumulate your asset base. And then slowly, with some careful planning, you'll get there. So just to sum it all up, you know, download iAccount, calculate your net worth, so you can understand where you're starting with, see the difference, the gap, and then slowly close that gap.
Really good advice, Ken. Definitely, I've already downloaded the iAccount. So the next step for me is to calculate my net worth and
it's
see
actually
how.
Very, it's actually quite fun to calculate. If you have a partner, you know, your wife, or you maybe have kids that are slightly older. You can actually do it together, you know, over a beer and actually get the market value. And you can have a laugh, you know, like, oh, I'm up 10% or a house is down 5%. You know, you make it fun, because it's important for you to not be a chore, you know, not to be a stressful thing like filing taxes like that. You do every year, you know, you make it a habit, and soon enough, you know, your kids and people around you will continue doing it. Raymond, you can do it with your friend, you know, you can do it with your girlfriend. I think girls these days like guys who are financially responsible, right? You know, so just get them together. You see, you know, I got good net worth. You know, it's a good way to show that you're an attractive prospective husband.
Good advice. So now, as a father of a daughter, right? So next time when I, you know, if my daughter were to have a boyfriend, the first question I'll ask is, how much is your net worth?
Good place to start.
The question is, what if after they calculate and their net worth shows that it's negative?
Negative, then you have to get out of negative. I think I have rarely met people in negative. I mean, I'm not with AKPK, you know, or anything like that, but I don't take it lightly that people are in the negative. But, you know, if you are in a negative, actually, you know, you have a job, you should slowly pay down your debts. Don't use debt to cover more debt. You know, take away debts that are the most onerous things, like your student loans, your credit card loans. Slowly, you know, have a program with AKPK if it's that bad to get out of, to actually get out of, you know, having debts lah. So, but I think the reality for most people is, luckily, and not everyone is negative. So it's just slowly and responsibly build up your net worth lah.
Yeah. I can say that, you know, being negative is not fun. I used to be negative, so it's not fun.
Because of the mortgage, is it?
No, I think because of the debt that I used to have. And I think that, I'm not sure about Dion, but I think that after years of knowing him, he did mention that he did have like financial situation as well. But I'll leave it for him to speak about it.
No laughing matter. And, you know, it's like really, it's a really a burden. Have a lot of debts, especially credit card debts, you know. And that time when I just switched over from having my own business to being an employee, so I got a mountain of debts I was owing to the bank in terms of credit card debts. So, and it took me around, you know, after like you said, you know, you need to really sit down and really need to face reality and, you know, put down the numbers on paper and then come up with a plan, a strategy on how you can get rid of the debts. So it took me around 3 years to get rid of all my credit card debts. So now I make it a point that I don't owe any, whatever I spend on credit card, I make sure that I pay full.
Yeah.
I have the money first before I spend the credit card.
Yeah, that's very sound advice. Another thing we talk about to investors is never borrow money to invest. Doesn't matter whether you invest in StashAway or stock market or anything, unit trust. Besides property, I don't think you should borrow money to invest, because borrowing money and then investing changes your mindset. So you want to ultimately pay down the debt, so you take more risk than you might think, and ultimately you may not be able to hold on as long as you like to reach your financial goal, and you start doing things that are emotional, and that's where you can make some huge investing mistakes. I think people think that investing is like you should know some secret, or you should have know some kung fu, right? But basically it's about good habits. I think this podcast is very rightly named, you know, just some good fundamentals, good basics. If you have strong fundamentals, you do the right things, like for example, just don't borrow to invest. I know, do budgeting, plan for your retirement. You will get there if you follow the plan.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing now is like the difference between the gambler's mindset and also the investor's mindset.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So having said that, you know, how can StashAway help investors or people who would like to invest?
Yeah. I think people should really consider or choose StashAway, because I think I talked a bit about some of the benefits, like low cost. You know, we are a digital platform, so being digital, we really get to lower the cost for people to invest. We also make it very, very convenient. For example, there's no minimum investment. So if you're skeptical about digital offerings, you just want to try something out, try it with a few $100, a few $1,000, just to get comfortable with the platform. And then the third thing is also that there's no lockups, there's no commitment period or anything like that. So ultimately, you know, if you need the money, your plans change, you can always just withdraw your money. So there's that added layer of convenience. I also think that it's great for different types of investors. For beginner investor who never invest before, is a good platform to begin because you actually don't need to be a genius lah. You know, the onboarding is really smooth. We help you in terms of choosing a portfolio. So, you know, and those other reasons I mentioned are also help beginner investors. Young corporates start with maybe 2,500 or 3,000 a month, mm-hmm. if that. And after they spend, you know, there's not much left, you know, so it's very hard to start investing in traditional platforms. But for StashAway, there's no minimum. So, you know, do your research and start lah. But for intermediate or advanced investors, right, I think being low cost is good, being convenient is good. But we are also quite sophisticated. We're sophisticated because we have our own investment framework, which is proprietary, is built in-house. And basically, we give you the right portfolio to suit the economic environment. You know, we go through different cycles in our life, you know, financial crisis, dot-com crisis, global financial crisis. So your portfolio should be dynamic. You shouldn't stand still, shouldn't be static. You know, so for example, in good times, your portfolio will have more allocation or more, shall we say, more weightage lah, towards mm-hmm. things like tech stocks, Asian markets, emerging markets, and consumer discretionary sectors, you know, basically growth assets lah. And then if, for example, the economy turns, you're in a recession, then the portfolio will automatically switch towards more things like corporate bonds, government bonds, gold, mm-hmm. REITs. So the portfolio is dynamic, like it doesn't shift. We have a lot of high net worths also investing on our platform because they recognize the sophistication. So when we ask them, you know, like, how does this fit into your portfolio? They actually say it's a very good way of diversifying their investments overseas. Not all your holding is in ringgit, you know. Your EPF is in ringgit already. Your mutual fund might be in ringgit. Your stocks might be in ringgit. Your house is in ringgit. And then, you know, so they use our platform to diversify their investments in outside of Malaysia.
So like the saying goes, never put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of Malaysians have what we call a home bias, meaning they only invest in things they are familiar with. But I think Malaysians are also very smart. They know about a lot of things all around the world, things like Nike, Alibaba, Berkshire Hathaway, Apple, Microsoft, Tesla. So if you don't invest in these, you know, big markets and big index, right, you won't be able to benefit from knowing these things. And it's just like, then it's just coffee shop talk, lah, you know, oh, Apple, this, Tesla, this. So why as well stop talking just so much, you know, finish the coffee and then just start investing.
Yeah. No action, talk only, not too.
Yeah, procrastination is a big thing when it comes to personal finance and investing. I'll do it tomorrow. And then I don't buy insurance, and then I don't invest. And then suddenly you're 40 and you're like, oh no. You know, so best is to start yesterday. Mm. Second best is to start today.
And it's never too late to start too.
No.
That's true.
Yeah, and just one more thing. I think that because of your previous stop in Penang, of course, that's your first StashAway XBBM event in Penang. And yeah. I understand that you do have like weekly talk in KL as well about personal finance and investment. So can you share a few lists of topics that you have and where can our listeners actually go and listen to this talk?
Yeah, so actually we had such a great time in Penang because we haven't held any seminars there, but you know, partnering with you and your following, we actually got a very warm crowd who are very, very keen. So it's good and we want to do more. We're going to come back, and if we do, we'll let you know. But if you're a listener in KL, we actually do weekly seminars for free, and they're held in different places. So just try and pop by after work. Once a month, we'll also do it on weekends. So just go to our Facebook page. On our Facebook page, you can see all the different event dates. So just like our Facebook page. And during these talks, we talk about things like personal finance basics, investing, how to save for your retirement, and also how to use ETFs to invest. So they are actually global best practices that we've boiled down into different modules. It's not trying to teach you how to pick the right stock or anything like that. It's actually very, very good fundamentals to start off with. But if you can't make it, do look out for our webinars as well. We want to do more webinars to explain some of the things I talked about here, and also, you know, how to use the app as well. And if you are on YouTube and you want content, just go to our YouTube page. Every Friday, our CIO gives his market insights on the latest happenings in the global markets. So he talks about what his views are on the Trump trade war, you know, the recent G20. If there are movements in the market, he'll talk about it.
Right. So to our listeners, especially in KL, please look out for the Stash Away talks from the Facebook page.
Yeah, and one last question for you, Ken.
Yep, sure.
How can our listeners invest with Stash Away?
So it's really, really simple. I always say it's never been a more exciting or easy time to invest as a Malaysian. For StashAway, basically just go to stashaway.my if you're using your laptop. But if you're listening on your mobile, just download the app from the App Store or the Play Store and just take 15 minutes, 20 minutes to sign up. All you need is your basic information and a picture of your IC. Basically, we need to record these things to comply with our Securities Commission license and make sure people who are on the platform are completely legitimate. No Joe Low, Simply Invest and all that. We don't accept those kind of customers. So after that, you know, it's very simple. You basically choose your portfolio based on your investment goal. Like we talk about, you know, say you want to save for retirement, you know, we recommend you a portfolio, and then you make your deposit. You can make your deposit in a variety of ways. You can go to your online bank and transfer to our trustee or custodian bank account. The details are all there. Or you can use JomPay, like you pay your electricity bills, you know, you can use to transfer money. But we also recently launched this feature where you can set a direct debit from the StashAway platform itself. So you don't have to leave the app to do these regular payments. You can make automatic regular deposits. So you can practice what we call, you know, dollar cost average. Every month after gaji masuk, you know, you pay yourself first and you have a portion of it actually go towards your investments. And the more you automate, the more you don't have to think about it and you can live your life. Once in a while, you just check your StashAway, see how your performance is doing. So yeah, very, very simple.
Yeah, to our listeners out there now, already installed the app for StashAway. And there are a lot, it's easy, very easy to use. Just have to go in and try it out and yeah, start investing.
Thank you so much for your time. And hopefully our listeners are able to get lots of tips and tricks and detail about StashAway. And hopefully they are able to benefit from today's recording.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dion. Thanks so much, Raymond. It was a really, really good chat, and I'm very honored to be on. And in the future, you know, I'm happy to come back again, talk about something different. But in the meantime, you know, just remember that it's not about shortcuts; it's about basics and also useful habits every day. So yeah, wish you all the best in your investing journey.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you so much. See you guys soon.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for joining us this week on Black Belt Money and Habits. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and Spotify so you never miss any episode. If you find value in this show, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating on iTunes. And feel free to share it with your friends and family.